Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. There was a large church here in Minnesota. I think it's defunct now. But they had two preachers, two of the best preachers I've ever heard in my life. But then one of them had an affair with the secretary, and the other one got into drugs. They both had to leave the church. Well, years later, I heard that one of them repented and eventually was preaching again. I think the other died of his drug addiction. Today we're going to ask, what do you do after you've fallen? Peter fell the night before Jesus was crucified. Three times he said, I don't know Jesus, I don't know Jesus, I don't know Jesus. But Jesus restored him. You know, maybe you've fallen, maybe you've turned your back on the Lord and you're not following him right now. Today let's learn how you can be restored to Christ. Take out your Bible, please. One of the tenderest scenes of the Bible, the restoration of Peter. We turn to John chapter 21, and let's pray first. Father, we pray for anyone watching this program who is not following Christ. They're living in some sin, or they're just not making room for the most important thing in the world. Lord, we would pray that these people that are watching this program would come to saving faith in Christ. And God, speak to each of us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 21, Jesus now has risen from the dead. A few days earlier, Peter had denied Christ before the crucifixion, and now the story. John 21, starting at verse 1. After these things, Jesus, now risen, manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, We will also come with you. So they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Here's the first lesson I want you to get today. Jesus will change your life more than you think. The disciples had gone back to fishing, to their old profession. They don't understand. This is probably their last fishing trip, because the rest of their lives, they're going to be fishing for men. Jesus will change your life more than you think. It reminded me of college. I went to college and I majored in filmmaking and I hated it. And I finally prayed, okay, God, I want to do your will. What do you want me to be in life? Just make it clear to me and that's what I'm going to do. And that's when I got the word, I want you to be a preacher. I didn't go to college to be a preacher, but God just, choo. But if you've never prayed, okay, Lord, I want to do your will. What is your will for me? If you pray that and mean it, it'll change your life more than you think. Let's look at verse 5. Jesus therefore said to them, Children, you do not have any fish, do you? They answered him, No. He said to them, Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch. They cast, therefore, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Here's the next lesson. Obey God, and He will fill your net. Sometimes you can talk to people, and do you tithe? Do you give 10% of your money to the Lord and to the church? Well, no, Pastor, I don't tithe because, you know, I've got bills to pay, and what if something happened that I didn't know about, and just some emergency comes up? So, you know, they don't understand. If you obey God, He will fill your net. Many years ago in England was a man by the name of John Arlington. He was a wealthy man, but he lived in a small little cottage. People knew he was wealthy, and they're wondering, what does he do with his money? Is there, you know, money in the mattress he's keeping? What's this man doing? When he died, they went into his home. They didn't find money. They didn't find gold under the floorboards of the house. They found a letter. Dear Mr. Arlington, we have heard you are ill. We are praying for you. But we just want to say thank you so much for every year sending us your wealth so we could preach the gospel here in the Belgian Congo, signed, your missionaries. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we American Christians would live simple lives and send buckets to mission, trusting God is going to fill our net if an emergency comes along? Next, verse 7. That disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. Here's the next lesson. When you have sinned, swim to Jesus, not from him. I mean, here's the way the story could have gone. John says, "Peter, you know who that is on the shore? That's Jesus." And Peter said, "Uh-oh," and swam in the other direction. No. You know, when you sin, your guilt might make you feel like staying away from God. Ignore your guilt. That's when you swim to God. And now for the tenderest scene of the New Testament, John chapter 21, let's look down at verse 15. Jesus says, now they're on shore, Jesus has made them breakfast, and we read this. So when they had finished eating breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my sheep." Then he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he told him, "Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my lambs." Let me explain what's going on here. A New Testament scholar by the name of Leon Morris wrote these words about this passage. "There can be little doubt but that the whole scene is meant to show us Peter was completely restored to his position of leadership. Three times he had denied his Lord. Now he has three times affirmed his love for the Lord. And three times he has been commissioned to care for the flock. Whatever had been the mistakes of the past, Jesus was restoring Peter to a place of trust." So here's the next lesson. When you swim to Jesus, he restores you. He doesn't clobber you. He doesn't hit you with lightning. When you swim to Jesus, he restores you. I mean, I remember sitting in my office one day, and I got a knock on the door, and I opened it up, and here's a 28-year-old woman. "Pastor Brock, remember me?" Oh, I said, "I sure do. How you doing?" I had confirmed her 15 years earlier when she was 13, and I had heard that she had wandered from the Lord, had a baby out of wedlock and everything. But I hadn't seen her for years. She said, "Pastor Brock, I just wanted to come back and let you know. Thank you for teaching me the truth. You were right. And I'm walking with the Lord again. I'm married and I have children, but I just wanted to let you know I'm following Jesus." My point being, when you come back to Christ, he doesn't clobber you. He forgives you. And I remember a second instance. I'm sitting in my church office, knock on the door, and here's a woman in her 40s. I didn't know her. And she said, "Well, Pastor Brock, 30 years ago, way before you were here, I got confirmed at this church, and I wandered from the Lord. And I want to come back to the church where I was confirmed and rededicate my life to Christ. Can we do that? I said, we sure can. We went back into the sanctuary. We knelt at the altar where she had been confirmed 30 years earlier. She confessed her sins, abortion, and other things. And I put my hand on her head. I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I announce to you the forgiveness of your sins. My point being, no matter what sins you may have committed, come to Christ, repent, let him forgive you, and he's not going to clobber you. He's going to take you in his arms. Look at the next lesson before we leave this verse. You show Jesus you love him by feeding his lambs. Remember, three times, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? I do. Well, then feed my lambs, feed my lambs, feed my lambs. The way you show Jesus you love him is by feeding his lambs. There was a Norwegian seminary professor way back in the 1920s, he wrote a devotional book, one of these daily devotions. It's a great book. His name was O. Hallisby, and here's what he wrote for April 22nd. Feed your lambs. Fathers and mothers, Jesus expects us above all else that we should tend the children that Jesus has given you, that we should tell them about him. Let not the day's struggle for a living, and not the various even church activities, hinder you from performing your most important task, that you feed your lambs. Especially you mothers, to whom children belong in a particularly God-given way, you are sacrificing time and strength and effort in order to bring your children to Christ, are you not? Never assume any task which will hinder you from feeding the lambs which Jesus has entrusted to your care. And you who have no children, single people, do you see the children along the pathway of life? Or are you among those who overlook them? If we looked to our children a little more carefully, not so many young people would be going out into the far country. I saw a study a while ago about daycare in America, and the conclusion of the study, we need more daycare in America. No, we need parents to be parents in America. Around the country, you can see their videos on YouTube, parents going before school boards saying, why are you putting pornography in schools for my 10-year-old to read? And then the parent will try to read the passage. They cut him off because it's too obscene. And he says, yeah, so it's too obscene for you to hear, but you can have my 10-year-old read it. And I mean, this is crazy. We need to tend our lambs. The Minneapolis Public Schools put on a drag queen story time for children. We have to guard our lambs here. Listen, if your child has an iPhone, make sure, mom and dad, you go into parental restrictions and you restrict this thing so Jimmy and Susie cannot access hardcore pornography. More than ever, we live in a day and age where, mom and dad, you need to protect your lambs. Verse 18. Now Jesus is talking to Peter. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now Jesus said this, signifying by what kind of death Peter was going to glorify God. And when Jesus had spoken this, he said to Peter, follow me. There's an old legend called Quo Vadis, which means in Latin, where are you going? This comes way back. It's about 150 AD. And the legend is the Apostle Peter is fleeing Rome because Christians are being persecuted. And in the story, as Peter's going out of Rome on the road, coming toward him, toward Rome, is Jesus. And Peter says, Quo Vadis? Where are you going, Lord? And he said, I'm going back to Rome to be crucified again. And Peter took that as a word you go back, Peter. And the early Christian tradition is that Peter was martyred in Rome, and when they're about to crucify him, he says, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord, and they crucified Peter upside down. So here's the next lesson. Suffering is required if you want to follow Jesus. Maybe the worst place on earth to be a Christian is North Korea. Let me read this. For generations, the Kim Jong-un regime has done whatever it can to erase Christianity. Hundreds of thousands of believers have been killed or languish in prisons in North Korea. But there are glimmers of hope. An estimated 400,000 Christians in North Korea practice in secret. They can be killed for owning or even quoting the Bible. Thousands more suffer in work camps because of their Christian faith. Point being, suffering is required if you're going to follow Jesus. But one more point here. Here's the last lesson. Jesus is worth it. If you have to suffer for Jesus, okay. If you have to die for him, okay. But Jesus is worth it. Paul the Apostle says in Philippians 2, I've suffered the loss of all things, but I count them as garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on the law or my own goodness, but that which comes through faith in Christ. In other words, Jesus is worth it. It is said that when Abraham Lincoln met Harriet Beecher Stowe, the authoress of Uncle Tom's Cabin, he said, so here's the little lady that started the great big war. Uncle Tom's Cabin talks about the horrors of slavery. There's a scene in Uncle Tom's Cabin where Simon Legree, the slave master, has beat to a bloody pulp Uncle Tom. Simon Legree, how would ye like now to be tied to a tree and have a slow fire lit around ye? Wouldn't that be pleasant, Tom? Master, said Tom, I know ye can do dreadful things, but after ye've killed the body, there ain't no more ye can do, and oh, there's all eternity after that. You know, it can be hard to be a Christian in this world, but there's all eternity after that. Tom, Peter would tell you, even if they kill you, Jesus is worth it. So if you have fallen like Peter, let Jesus restore you. And I'm going to close with this. I knew a man, I still do, who has same-sex attraction. But Christian man, goes to church, follows the Lord, fights the good fight, he's a celibate. I heard years ago, he stopped going to church, got a boyfriend, and lived that way for, I think, a couple years maybe. Well, then I heard through the grapevine, hallelujah, he'd repented, the boyfriend and he broke up, he's back in church again, he's going to a group of people who struggle with this issue, so it's a Christian group to help them stay on the right track. Well, he called me and we talked, and I said, if you don't mind, I got a question. During those 2 years of rebellion, did you ever think about hell? And he said, oh yeah. Listen, you don't want to live that way. If you're living in sin, God can restore you, but you need to come to Christ, ask for forgiveness, get into a good church, turn away from the people or persons or whatever it is that you're messed up with. Come to Christ. He will not zap you. He'll forgive you and restore you and bring you. And you will discover, no matter what suffering or how hard that might be, Jesus is worth it. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, is there anything we can do for Christians suffering overseas?
Yes, there is. I would encourage everyone to go to persecution.org and ask for their free monthly persecution magazine.
And it stories from all over the world of what our Christian brothers and sisters are enduring, enduring for the sake of the gospel. And then this is a place that I give money to, persecution.org, put out by International Christians Concerned.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think persecution is coming to America?
Well, Mona, I've said this before, but 2 minutes from my house, Planned Parenthood has opened up an abortion clinic. And God bless the Catholic and the evangelicals who are out in front praying while the abortions are going on, handing out literature. They're very peaceful and quiet about it, trying to get people to turn around, and some people do turn around. So periodically I pull up and I get out and I say, you know, I'm a pastor. Thank you so much for being here. But one time I did this pro-choice. They also have the other side pretty angry out in front. And this guy just comes at me, just verbally kind of attacking me. And these poor people have to put up with that every day. And I left there feeling, ooh, I need a shower or something. So is persecution coming to America? I've said this on another program. Some of the liberal politicians in Minnesota want to overthrow the exemption that churches have so that we'll have to hire practicing homosexuals and practicing transgender people as your pastor or whoever. Well, they dropped it for this session, but pray that does not go through. So is persecution coming to America? Well, those dear people in front of the abortion clinic are already getting it, but we've got nothing like they've got in North Korea. You can be killed by the government for owning a Bible in North Korea.
So it's coming.
Get persecution.org and pray for these people.
All right. Yeah. Do you think Christians should have their children in public schools?
The Minneapolis Public School had a drag queen story time for the children. While the children were having drag queen story time, the parents were being given a lecture by Children's Hospitals Minnesota, which has a gender-affirming care program for children, where they give children hormone blockers to prevent them from developing naturally. Should you have your kids in public schools? If you do, be vigilant. Be careful what church you go to. There's an ELCA Lutheran church that brought in a drag queen to do the children's sermon. You can watch it online. So not only be careful what school you put your kids into, be careful what church you take your kids to. So we have to, the public schools desperately need Christian parents. And so I'm not here to say you can't have your child, but you know your child, and maybe there are some children that shouldn't be in public school. You need to put them in Christian schools. So that's a question you have to pray about and do what you think the Holy Spirit is telling you to do.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Some churches teach you must confess your sins to a priest to be forgiven. Is this true?
People think I'm a Catholic priest. I'm not. I'm a Lutheran pastor. We wear the collar, too. And Catholic Church has, and so do the Episcopal churches and the Lutheran Church, we have something called confession absolution, where if you need it, you go to the priest or the pastor and say, you know, can I confess my sins? And Jesus did say, after Jesus rose from the dead, he breathed on the apostles and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained. It's called the office of the keys. So God has given the church authority to forgive sins. Now, but only God can forgive sins. Okay, but he gave that authority in John chapter 20 to the church. Now, here's the difference between me and a Catholic. The Catholics tend to think only a Catholic priest can forgive sins. I don't believe that. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses, God's doing that. You don't have to run to the priest. Nevertheless, it's healthy. James chapter 5 says, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. It doesn't say to a priest. It says to one another. I think any Christian, I believe in what's called the priesthood of all believers, everybody's a priest, any Christian can confess their sins to another and hear the word of forgiveness. Nevertheless, the way the church is set up, it's normally easiest to do it to the priest or to the pastor. And I think It's healthy. Mm-hmm. When I sin, I want to talk to another Christian about it. I know I can go directly to God and He does forgive me, but sometimes my guilty conscience wants to hear another Christian say, "You are forgiven," 1 John 1:9, the blood of Christ, you know, washes us clean, etc. So I don't think it's an absolute requirement that it be a priest, but I don't think anything's wrong with confessing your mm-hmm. sins to a pastor. In mm-hmm. fact, I think it's normally. I have a friend who has a pornography problem, and he joined a church, and this is a kind of church where you confess your sins before you go up for communion. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like it, but he knows he needs it because mm-hmm. it's putting a dent in his pornography problem. So there you go. That's my answer.
Yeah. All righty. Will Peter determine who gets into the gates of heaven?
Well, when Jesus said, "You are Peter, on this rock I will build my church," mm-hmm. Catholics interpret that to mean that the Pope. Well, Jesus was saying that to Peter, who was the leader of the early church. And so I think it applied to Peter. Does it apply to the Pope of Rome, the rest of the... I don't think it does. But anyway, so the question was...
Will Peter determine who gets into the gates of heaven?
You know, the old joke of somebody dies and goes to heaven, Peter says something. There's mm-hmm. a lot... In fact, do I have time? Mm-hmm. Real quick, Ole and Lena have a bad marriage. This is Swedish humor. And Ole dies and stands before the pearly gates. And St. Peter says, "Well, to get in, you have to spell one word properly." "Well, what's that, St. Peter?" "Love. L-O-V-E, love. You're in." So Ole gets into heaven. And after a while, St. Peter says, "I got to run an errand. Would you watch the gates? You know what they got to spell." So St. Peter takes off. And who comes toward the gate but Lena? And Ole says, "Well, Lena, I'm surprised to see you." "Well, yeah, I'm surprised to see you in there, Ole." "Well, Lena, for you to get in, you have to spell one word properly." "Okay, what's that?" "Czechoslovakia." It never says Peter is going to meet us at the pearly gates. That's kind of a derivative from Jesus giving Peter the keys. Jesus gave the keys to the entire church, I believe, but the leaders are especially used for that as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, do we have time for another question?
I think so. Go ahead.
All right. Were any apostles other than Peter martyred?
According to early church history, every apostle was martyred except one, and that was John. And if you read the book of Revelation, John is on the Isle of Patmos in the near Greece, near Turkey, actually, and he gets the final revelation. But according to early church tradition, every apostle was martyred except John lived to old age. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, everybody, thanks for watching our program. We ask you to pray for our ministry that God will keep us on the air. It's only by the grace of God and the gifts of believers that we stay on the air. So there'll be an address, and you can watch our program.
Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thanks for watching. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.